Leah Worrell from the Overseas Development Institute. I am here with Thierry Philipponin, Secretary General of Finance Watch. We are at the ODI event on policy coherence and the international financial architecture. We asked him, what factors in international financial architecture are particularly helpful, and what are the risks in mobilising and using finance flows effectively for development in the poorest and most vulnerable countries?
It's a very interesting question. I would like to start from the angle where Finance Watch starts from, which is if you want to have capital going to productive use in general, leave alone, you know, developing countries, you need to have a financial system that actually does that job. The biggest problem we have today is that in most developing countries, certainly in Europe, the large banks are doing very little of providing capital to society and to productive economy, and doing a lot of what really society needs much less. Just to give you a number, the size of the banking sector in the EU is 45 trillion euros, that's 45,000 billion euros, okay? Out of that, on average, only 28% is lending to non-financial corporations and households. So the remaining 72% is about all the rest. And all the rest, you know, there's pears, bananas, and apples in all the rest, but, you know, a lot of things really effectively will never contribute to, you know, the objective you were describing. So certainly, as far as Finance Watch is concerned, the first priority is to get the financial system back on track, i.e. doing what it's meant to do, which is providing capital to you know, society. And here again, leave alone, you know, going, you know, towards developing countries. In order to do that, there's two major things that need to be done. The first thing is you need to get the structure of banks in order. Today, the biggest perverse incentive to developing non-productive use of capital is the fact that you have so-called universal banks that effectively feed their market activities with the implicit subsidy they receive or they derive from public support. And effectively what we're seeing and what we've seen over the past 10, 15 years is that those banks have grown their activity thanks to public support without directing capital to the real economy in general, whether it's in the EU, you know, thinking about EU banks or abroad. So that's, you know, the first thing we need to do is address that issue. Second thing is we have a number of